As Mike said, we do have some special guests here. So in our series, as you guys know, we've been talking about what he's done. And so far, it's all been, what is he doing here in our area? Well, the beautiful thing about our God is he is doing things incredible all around the world, not just here, but in other places. And so we've got Nate and Danielle Cheney here with us this morning. And so they're gonna share with us what they've seen, how God's doing things both in their lives and in their family and around the world. So speaking of their family, their boys are here as well with them. We've got Timothy, we've got Andrew, and we've got Matthew, and I remember their names. Yes.
I don't even do that sometimes.
I was going to say that may be more of a struggle for you guys. I know growing up, Mom always called me by a different name. So anyway, so these guys have been overseas serving God's kingdom for about 7 years now. The first four, they were in Senegal, and the last three, they've been in Albania. Fortunately, they're going to spend some time showing you guys where Albania is, because I'm not sure if all of us in this room could pick out on a map where exactly that is. So it's our privilege to have them here, but before you guys get going, I'd love to pray for you, and then I'll hand it over to you. So, Father, you are doing amazing things around the world, and we're just here at Green, we're so grateful that we can partner with others that are doing work for you in different cultures and different contexts. Father, thank you for your blessings to us here that we can bless others. I pray that we would never get so focused on our church that we would forget about your church globally. And so I'm grateful for Nate and Danielle being willing to jump up here on stage and just teach from your word and just share their experiences in Albania and in a different culture from what we're accustomed to. So Father, give them the words to say, just speak through them, allow it to be Spirit how you're moving in their hearts. So we love you, Jesus. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning, Chapel family. Might have to hold this a little farther away here. Thank you, Brian. As he said, we are the Cheneys, and we have been in full-time overseas service for 7 years since September of 19. First 4 years in Senegal, as he said, and for the last three in a country called Albania. And while we were initially sent out from the Akron Chapel, we consider this family also. There are so many friends and family, and you guys have embraced us as family, and we consider that the same. So thank you for your care and love and just strong amount of prayer for us. We have felt it and needed it, so thank you so much for that. So I want to start. We know that Albania is a country that a lot of people may not know where it's at. So guys, you got the first slide. So we are at the yellow. And Albania is just across from Italy there in the orange or reddish or whatever that is. And you really can't see on the far left side of Africa. Senegal really didn't show up. I probably should have put an arrow there for that too. But just where the green line and the tan line of the desert meet is where Senegal is. So guys, you can go to the next slide. And so this Balkan region, it's a little zoom in there, Albania right above the yellow area there. We got Montenegro, Kosovo, Serbia, North Macedonia, and Greece surrounding us, and just to the Adriatic there. And then you guys can zoom in the next slide just to give an idea of where we're at. So where the yellow arrow is Tirana, which is the capital city. And so there are about 8 million Albanians around the world. About 3 million of them are still in the country, and about 1 million of them or so are in the capital city of Tirana. And so, so we're thankful to be there. God originally put a call on our heart to Albania around 2012. It took a little longer to get there than we thought, to 23. And so we are so thankful to the Lord and his faithfulness in getting us there, which is why we're here this morning. Just your summer theme of what God has done and testimony. We are excited to just share a little bit of what God has done in our lives and just his faithfulness that he's shown. But before we get into that, I'm going to read from Psalm 66. So if you guys have a moment to pick up a Bible or on a device. I'm going to read a device because in the last year I've realized the small print on my Bible, I've hit the point. So I need the big print. And but I do want to say, just even as Brian introduced our children, I do want to take a quick second to say we are so thankful. So many of you have reached out and just prayer for them. And it has been a wild journey for them. And we are just thankful in God's provision and just even that we get to be their parents. So, guys, thank you for suffering along with us at times, but we love you. And thank you, Chapel family, for having them in your hearts and prayers. So, all right. Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds? So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip? For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatted animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come in here, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. And with that, I'm going to turn this over to Daniel for a moment.
Good morning. Like Nate said, like Brian said, we were sent out from the chapel in 2019. Originally, we were called to Albania in 2012, and through the process of chapel changes and things, God's sovereign plan, we left for Albania, or we left for Senegal in 2019. So it was really not our vision to go to Senegal. But we were open and willing to go wherever the Lord had called us to go and wherever he directed us. So through the process of waiting for God to open the door for us to be sent out from the chapel to go to Albania, God brought a Senegalese man into our life in 2015 who was studying at the University of Akron at the Fulbright Scholarship. We housed him for a short time and became really good friends with him and then his wife. They had their first child while they were in Akron studying. And we had great opportunity to share the gospel with them. They were a Muslim family. And when they left in 2017 to go back to Senegal, our hearts were broken. They still hadn't realized that they needed the grace of the Lord Jesus in their lives to be saved. They thought we were all just good people. So through a process of praying for them daily and our hearts just burning for them to know the Lord, in 2018 we reached out to some missionaries in Northern Africa who worked with pastors in West Africa. So we asked if he had any contacts in Senegal to connect our friends Ismaila and Swadu with so that they could continue to hear the gospel from believers in their area. After a few brief emails with this missionary in Northern Africa, he connected us with someone who worked at an international Christian school in Dakar, Senegal, in the town that Ismaila and Swadu were from. And after about five brief emails, the guy said, well, why don't you guys just come here? And we said, this was September of 2018. And we said, we'll pray about it, but we're going to Albania. And in 3 months, we were signing contracts to go to Senegal because God had just opened all these doors and made things so clear that this was the next step for us. So we left in 2019 for Senegal, and for 4 years we worked at this international Christian school. We had great opportunities to continue to meet with Ismaila Swadu. By this point, they had two children, both with some pretty severe mental handicaps. But I was able to meet with Swadu and read the Bible with her, and she had some super insightful questions and things that she would gather from the text as we're reading. And it was just encouraging to watch God moving in their hearts and using our family. And in the meantime, we were working at an international Christian school. Our boys were doing really well, making friends. Our time in Senegal, even though it is a dry and humid, or that doesn't even make sense. Even though it is a deserty and humid place with tremendous heat, God had put us, and especially our boys, in the greenhouse for their faith to just grow. God surrounded our boys with teachers and friends and people and experiences that just really built into them and their faith. And as parents, even though there were some difficulties for us, I had been in the process of getting ready to go to Senegal. We signed contracts in December of 18, and through all the health checks and the things that we had to do, in 2019, in April, they found out that I had a tumor behind my right eye. It's still there, part of it, and it's not cancerous, but it provided a lot of difficulties in those initial few years. Praise the Lord, one of the ways that we can testify to his faithfulness is how he's provided for my health, provided the medicine that I need, and the energy that I need to serve him overseas. You know, the Lord promises to provide us with everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. And that is so true. Financially, the Lord has provided for us. When we look at the needs of our kids, the Lord has provided for us. Medically, the Lord has provided for us. Another quick story of just medical provision for our children. So I was the fifth grade teacher for 2 years in Senegal, and the second year I had my middle son, Andrew, in my class. And because of COVID, we were not able to come back after our first year in Senegal. So 2021, that summer, we were gonna prepare to come back for our first time and visit family and friends. And it's the last day of school in June of 2021. And I was Andrew's fifth grade teacher. There's not a lot to do the last week of school, as most people know. And so I had taken my class out to recess to have an extra time outside. And Andrew came over to me and just said, "Mom, I'm just going to sit on the wall with you here for a little bit. My side's really hurting me. So I think I just got a cramp." So he sits next to me, and this was a Thursday, sorry, not Friday. So we just ride out the rest of school. Everything seemed pretty normal, but he had this cramp now in his side. Well, Friday morning, he came to me before school and said, "Mom, my side is hurting really bad. I couldn't sleep last night." And so we said, "Okay, you know, it's the last day of school. There's nothing to do. Just stay home." And we lived about a minute away from school, so by walking. And so he just stayed at home that morning, and we left. And when I came back, normally if we'd leave our kids at home, you know, they'd sleep in a little bit, but by the time we got back, they were up, they'd eaten some food, and, you know, we could tell that they were feeling a little bit better. But when I got home that day at 3 o'clock, Andrew was still in bed. And so we knew that there was something wrong. So I start looking up things about appendicitis and all these different things, and like, surely he can't have appendicitis. Like, that's not possible. We went one more night, which was probably not the wisest thing to do. Medical
parents, you can suffer a little longer.
So the next morning, we're like, okay, we need to do something about this. Medical care, as you can imagine, in a third world country, is not super easy. So we called a lady who was a missionary nurse that we knew, and she said, "Yeah, you need to take him to the hospital." So there was a private hospital about 30 minutes away, and Nate, about noon, packs Andrew up, who's still in pretty severe pain, and it's amazing that they got there in the amount of time, because even though Distance-wise, it would have only taken about 30 minutes. Usually traffic would cause it to take about 2 hours because the traffic was insane. Well, they got there in a record time, got straight in to see a doctor, which is amazing again. They took an ultrasound, and yes, his appendix had exploded or ruptured or whatever they call that. So in America, if someone's appendix ruptures and they have surgery, there is often infection and complications that come with that. So Andrew is a fifth grader. His appendix has ruptured in this third world country, and they take him in for surgery. We're leaving for America, you know, in 8 days from this point. We're like, oh my goodness, what's going on? Praying for our son, you know, just trusting the Lord to take care of him, to provide the right care, the doctors and surgeons that he would guide their hands. And long story short, Wednesday, he's coming back. A little synopsis of the hospital in Senegal. Nate, do you want to share about your time staying with Andrew for those few days?
Sure. Not to drag it out, just we're used to anytime medical environment anywhere, you're used to there being electronic devices and, you know, beeps and all that kind of stuff. It's a private hospital, but not a single electronic thing, nowhere. And when I showed up, they basically put Andrew in a room and they gave me this little vinyl mat and said, yeah, you sleep on the floor and next to him and you come get the nurse when you need medicine or whatever. And so setting the alarm on our own phone and like waking up to go do that. And when you go get them, they open a big plat book and try and find the name. And you know, in your head, you're just like, Lord, we just want our son to be better. But God is so good. Even in the midst of this rudimentary level of care, he had his hand on that process and Andrew came out of it. I mean, a funny side of that is not to gross everyone out, but he actually brought out the appendix on a silver platter to prove he had done something. Whether it was his or not, I don't know, but there was something. Sorry, Andrew.
So successful surgery on Saturday. Andrew was in the hospital till Wednesday. Wednesday, him and Nate were able to come home, and it's still COVID time. So we were leaving really early in the morning on Saturday, and so Wednesday afternoon or Thursday, we're having to take COVID tests to make sure that we don't have COVID to be able to load the plane. Andrew can't walk. He's in a wheelchair, in a lot of pain still from the surgery and recovery. We passed the COVID tests, and Friday night, go to bed, wake up at 2 a.m. on Saturday morning, and make our way to the airport. Now, the other benefit of this thing is customs at JFK is horrible. Well, now with Andrew's medical condition, he had a wheelchair, and we zipped through that line that probably would have taken us about 2 hours to get through. We probably would have missed our connection to Cleveland and everything. So we're thankful that Andrew, yes, again, took another one for the team and allowed our family to get safely through customs at JFK, and we made it. So we have a family.
It was such a great experience that the joke has been, who's taking one for the team next time we travel?
Jumping ahead to Albania, in 2023, God transitioned us to Albania, where, again, originally we felt called to in 2012. If any of you remember Jody Bowser, I grew up at the chapel in Akron, served as an intern there with Campus Focus. Actually, in 2001 to 2003, I was interning with Campus Focus, and I'm pretty sure around the chapel in Akron, around this chapel, there is a video of all the interns talking about the launching of the Green Campus. So as a 23-year-old, I'm probably in this video somewhere about the Green Campus opening during that time. But with that said, we jumped to Albania in 2023 and get there in June. And in September, Timothy wakes me up at like 4 in the morning in severe pain. And we're like, surely, Lord, not again. Albania is a second world country, and so it has slightly better medical care. But again, in the middle of the night, Nate takes Timothy now to the hospital in Tirana, Albania. And sure enough, his appendix has not ruptured, thank the Lord, but it was inflamed. He was having an appendix attack. So that day he had surgery in Albania to remove his appendix and recovered great, and we're so thankful for that. So now the joke is to Matthew, you're the only one left. When is it your turn? So we have one out of three.
He does not enjoy that joke.
He doesn't enjoy it. So
anyhow. At this point, they've heard some of this a handful of times, so they're just looking at us every time we say something, shaking their head.
Stop embarrassing them. So, again, I mentioned that I have medical problems, or a condition, not problems, that the Lord has allowed in my life. I love this part of Psalm 66. I'm just going to reference it. I have my tissue because I randomly cry, and so when I read the Word of God, I randomly start crying. So I might do that. But in verse 10, it says, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance." I love that last part. "Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance." God lets trials, he lets hardships, he lets suffering happen in the life of his believer. I have the privilege of teaching the 10th grade Bible class in Albania at the International Christian School once a week. And we take them through, my class is apologetics. And this year we looked for a brief section on how good God can allow suffering. And we looked at what the Bible had to say about how God not only allows it, but often, as this verse says, he brings us into these trials. He brings us into the net. Psalm 139:16 says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So every trial, everything I face that's a hardship, everything that my children face or that my husband face or that my parents or my brother or family faces has been specifically ordained by the Lord for believers so that he can bring us out into a place of abundance. Sometimes that's really hard when you're going through a difficult trial or some kind of suffering to realize that your loving Father has specifically ordained and made that situation a reality in your life so that he can continue to purge you of the sin in your life, so that he can refine you like silver and bring you out into a place of abundance. Another lesson that I have learned over the years, not just as we've served overseas, is that God never promises to use my giftings to save people, to feed the poor. He blesses me and allows me to be part of the work that he is doing, but he does not need my help. But as I follow him, he allows me to join him in those things and in that work. But the work that God promises to do in me is to complete the work that he began in me. And that work, as Romans 8:29 says, is to conform me into the image of Christ. So wherever I am, through whatever circumstance he has allowed and ordained for my life, it is specifically for me to be more like Christ. And he promises that he's going to complete that work someday at the day of Christ Jesus. So as he allows hardships, as he allows suffering in my life and in your life, if you're a believer, it's all for the purpose of him making and forming Christ in your heart. It's for a good purpose. It's for a reason that goes far beyond what we understand a lot of times. So it's encouraging that the Word tells us that and that we know the Word is trustworthy and faithful, and so that when we read that in the Bible, even though sometimes in our hearts we don't feel like this is a good thing, we don't feel like it's coming from a God who sees us, it is coming from a loving Father who has specifically ordained that trial and that specific thing in the life of his children to draw them closer to him, to grow them in their faith, to purge the sin out of their life. So God has used these health things, the care for our children. In Albania, it has been so much easier to get my medicine that I need. I have a condition called acromegaly, but to keep that at bay, my energy level is amazing now, and God's faithfulness has been so good in providing what we have needed in that. We're going to shift a little. I'm going to let my husband speak for a little bit on some of the things that God has really taught him as we've been overseas as well, as we have just a few more minutes to share. So,
sounds good. Thank you, honey. I mean, we just want to share some of these things. And I mean, in a short time frame, it's so hard, even as we were planning for this. We just realize it's so much. You know, you try to look back over the years, and I think a lot of us can do that. And you just see all these things that God has done. So how do you whittle it down to, you know, just a few things? But something that specifically living overseas has taught me is I actually, just in the last few months, have come to a full realization of a lot of regret of my time in the States. You know, learning language is hard, especially for some of us that barely get English grammar, and then we go to a harder language. And so I've come face to face with the struggle of trying to learn a language. And so as a grown man going in and asking, you know, like, me want, you know, where the potty, you know, you're talking, you know, like, it's very difficult and can be very humbling. And so it's just really after 7 years, it's a large realization of when I was here in America, yeah, we were involved in different forms of ministry. But we are forced to be so intentional where we are now. To just walk to get groceries, to get meat, to interact with the locals in our community. You have to pre-plan what you're thinking and your language, and you have to think about their life and who they are and their kids and marriages. And it's just this process that in the beginning seems so hard and overwhelming. But the truth is, I had all that made here. I didn't struggle with the language, maybe still grammar, but language, I knew the culture, I knew the area, all those things were just second nature to me. And yet, so often, outside of the programmatic stuff that we were doing, the cashier, the people that I work with, often missed the boat big time on being intentional with them when there was no barrier. I had no language barrier, no cultural barrier, no traffic taking forever to get somewhere barrier. And so there's a certain amount of regret that I live with that, but it's also motivating to learn language for us where we are to get to that point that we can invest. But hopefully also an encouragement to you guys. For some reason, it seems like such a simple thing, and it's obvious, and yet for a lot of years, I just missed that when I was here in the States. So I encourage you guys, what does that look like? I mean, how many people live on a city block, and do you know the people that just literally live right around you? Employees that you work with, your coworkers. So this is, you know, me talking to myself too, not just you guys, but I just realized I had no barrier here. And so coming back here for now, I found that it has changed the way that I interact with people, and I wish I would have had a little more of a grasp on that in my time here. So I encourage you guys that way. Also in your own lives. The other thing that God has used us living overseas in a very poignant way is that sin hinders. That's a bad topic because it gets us all. I have been more face-to-face with the sin in my life and its subtle ways, the ways that it hinders my prayers, the way that it hinders my spiritual growth. So purging that sin from my life and being aggressive with it has become so obvious, the need for that, as we have just been in a spot of discerning God's will, you know, like, where do we live? You know, even when we moved to Senegal, she had health problems, but our boys connected instantly there, and they were great. So it was easy for us to deal with some of those things as parents because our kids were doing so well. Transition to Albania. Danielle and I love the country, the people, the geography, all of that, but it was a really hard first year for our kids. And I mean, if we're being honest, there were a handful of times we're like, God, what did we do? Did we totally miss the boat on this? Did we mishear your word? And so it begins a process of, like, I mean, just praying and seeking the Lord. And part of that process is, you know, is our prayers being hindered? Is there sin in our life where we, you know, so set on going to Albania that we miss something? And so thankfully, through a process, God confirmed Albania is where he has us. He's continued to confirm that, praise his name. But we've been so hit with the idea that
when you allow sin in your life and you aren't in the process of constantly seeking to be holy as he is holy, it is really hard to discern his will for your life. And so as an encouragement to you, but really in the mirror to myself, take sin seriously, because it will hinder you in your walk with the Lord and where he wants you to be in his will. So I think we're in the red.
Well, then I will pray, and we will close our time. I do want to say we have a sign-up sheet at the welcome desk for if you want to get our prayer letters. You can put your email and name on that. Just write clearly, because sometimes we're like, oh, I don't know what letter that is. And there's also, if you want to get coffee with us, there's some of you in here, I can't see because of the lights, that I'm sure I know. And we don't have time in this format to connect with everybody that we'd like to connect with. And if you want to hear more about what God is doing in Albania specifically, how you can be involved, we have a big enough place that God has allowed us to have that we wanted to be able to host people. So if you want to come over to Albania, connect with us, and we will help make that happen. You have to pay, but we can host you. But those things, if you want to meet for coffee, you know, put your name on that and your number. If you want to get our prayer letter, put your name on there and the email, and we would love to connect more with you. You are part of our family. Your prayers are so vital to what we do over there every day. I say if the Lord is not working by his Spirit in our hearts, we can learn Albanian. We can speak so clearly in Albanian, which is a hope for one day. But if God's not moving, it doesn't matter. It's falling on deaf ears. So we need prayers that the Spirit is moving in our hearts, in our boys' lives, in the lives of Albanian people and other internationals that we get to know. So let me pray for us, and thank you so much again for sharing, or letting us share, sharing this time with us.